Yeah, the title of my presentation is Rhizometric Evaluation of Root Zone Water Quality Model for ET Simulation in the Southern High Plains. When I talk about rhizometer, I started my career 25 years back designing, installing, and developing crop coefficients for various crops. My first publication was on developing crop coefficient for coconut in agriculture and forest meteorology. That followed 5-6 more publications in crop coefficients. Now, after 25 years, I took a PhD in water management that time. Then later I took another PhD in system modeling. So I have two PhDs, so that combines here, this one. So we have Root Zone Water Quality Model for maybe 20, 30 years. So far, we have been verifying ET simulation in the model using only water balance methods. So we did not have, or I don't have much confidence when I verify a model ET with water balance, because most of the time we don't have measurement of runoff or deep percolation. So it's with a pinch of salt we verify that. So a few months back I met Professor Nagowda when he came to our center for a training. He said, we can give you data. So that's where they started. I was very much excited about getting rhizometric data and comparing it with the model. So from my experience, I can say rhizometer is the best evaluation or best estimation of ET. That's possible. Equally competing is eddy covariance, but it has still limitations. So it's a collaboration between Agriculture System Research Unit, where I work, and Conservation and Production Research Lab, Terry Howell, Steve, and others. Any question about rhizometers, the left and right, we are there. The main objective is, as I said, is to verify root zone water quality model simulations of ET with rhizometer measurement. Then, are you getting the right answer for the log razor? That is the second objective. Also, verify other simulation components. Yeah. When we talk about the experiment at Bushland, it's with a educate fetch. So, what do you mean by educate fetch? This is what I learned in class when I was, you know, taking course in micrometeorology. The professor displayed this, and it came true. In 1969, when we landed on Moon, we were still struggling with measurement of canopy interception. And maybe in 1970s, we started learning canopy processes. So the fetch is basically this. The flow over the land surface is basically horizontal. So it picks up physical property one from one land surface and, you know, eject forward and give to the, you know, what it finds on its way. So the footprint of the air above should always match with the footprint below. That is the concept of fetch. So if you don't do that, any process you measure on the land surface which involves momentum, energy, and matter transfer between surface and air, you know, it's going to be affected by the footprint. You don't get right answer. So fetch is very important in ET, N2O, or any other, you know, studies of fluxes. Yesterday, Tony Wild was presenting. He said his N2O emission measurement is affected by wind speed and temperature. It's basically he's talking about the footprint. So it's the root zone water quality model. It's basically a daily time step model. So it runs on the daily time step, and there are some processes like soil water and heat, soil heat simulations, which runs on sub-daily time scale because of obvious reasons. They don't accumulate over the day. Coming to ET simulation, I think it's very important to mention here, there are multiple steps involved. First step is to get the potential ET. In our model, we calculate potential transpiration. Here, potential soil evaporation and potential residue evaporation. All the three separately calculated. Then, the method used is an extension of Shuttleworth-Wallis. And Shuttleworth-Wallis is a modification of Penman-Montes. Because Shuttleworth-Wallis made, Penman-Montes, is for a uniform surface completely covered with vegetation or grass. And Shuttleworth-Wallis made it partial canopy, partial exposure or soil. Then Farahani and Ahuja, I don't know, Ahuja is here. They further divided the exposed soil into residue covered and not covered. So, canopy, residue, and bare soil. So, three. And potential transpiration and, potential soil, these are separately calculated. So, we calculate the resistances, aerodynamic and, the bulk conductance, and separate calculation. Finally, they are added together. So, there is a lot of difference between, DSAT model and many other models we are discussing today. The second step is to get the actual root water uptake or the plant uptake, because the potential is only used for, putting an upper boundary to the uptake and soil evaporation. And this is the process I just explained to you. So, rainfall irrigation and tillage are the, management. So, once you apply the Green Amps equation, you get runoff. Then, water enter the soil, what excess of runoff, infiltrate down. Then, it redistributed using Richard's equation. And water uptake is a sink term in the Richard's equation. And if there is a macro pore, water directly move downward. It doesn't get redistributed, directly go to the layer where it ends. So it's macro pore. Then plant uptake, it's a part of the Richard's equation. When it gets redistributed, plant takes up the water. And here, I have given here, plant uptake is restricted to what is calculated in step 1, the potential transpiration. It's the same thing in this ad. It's not different. Then, subsurface flow, everything is calculated. They are not important here, but that affects plant uptake, what the water balance is. Then finally, leaching. And water uptake is, it can be calculated either using the same equation that's used in DSAT, that's the Ritchie 1998, or Niemann Hans, that's what I put in last year. plant growth is DSAT model. It's a dynamic daily time step again. It for photosynthesis here, and dry matter is partitioned. I'm giving this here because it's different from EPIC model. So it's a very dynamic partition model. It's not harvest index based. That's the point. Then phenology is calculated separately and they interact. So I'm not going into details. Then experiments, as I mentioned, it's conducted at Steve's lab. Conservation and Production Research Lab, Bushland. I have data for corn for 1990, 2006, and 2007. That's the data I have. So there is no specific reason I selected those years. That's the data I got. In 1990s, seed corn, that means there is a grain yield measurement. Then leaf area index, biomass, and grain yield. Soil water, air ET. In 2006, it's silage. There is no corn yield, grain yield. Only biomass, Then LA measurements, soil water, ADT. 2007 also same. So, as I said, lysimeter is a precision, in a large lysimeter, precision weighing type. Then it's center of a 4.4 hectare field, 210 meters east-west, and you know, that shows the fetch. It's not bad, it's not very good. I mean, it's not good enough for eddy covariance to my, knowledge. But it's very good for lysimeter, because when you go to eddy covariance, you have to get into the constant flux layer. So it, the depth of the footprint may not be enough. But this, for lysimeter, it may be barely sufficient. Fetch exceeds 300 meters in the predominant direction. Then the soil is Pullman clay loam. This is the lysimeter setup. And then I prepared the slides and gave to my colleague. He said, you should get a lysimeter picture for this presentation. I said, don't I have one? He could not find a lysimeter in there. Then I said, that's the success of the experiment. You should not be able to distinguish a lysimeter in a lysimeter experiment simply by looking. That means it should be indistinguishable from its surroundings. So it's a very well-maintained experiment. So I'm coming straight to the results. Soil water in 1990. This is how it... I did not go into calibration, because what we are doing is, myself and Laja Huja, he had a lot of experience with the Pullman soil, so we were getting data from different sources for the for that soil and putting in the model. And when we put everything, we just got this. So we did not do any kind of inverse modeling or pest or parameter estimation techniques. So just put in the data and we got this results. Then to show 2006, see, this is the way the soil water is. So I would say it is acceptable. You see some points here. Not sure how it is coming, because when you get all other things in line, some measurements go off. So it shows the importance of keeping very good metadata when you collect data and store. Metadata doesn't mean I have 2006 data, I have this is the data. Data about data. Why, where, who. That kind of questions. You need record all this and should always go with the data. I think that is a stress in LTER experiments, database they are developing. Now they are stressing that. So this is another year. You can see that one goes off. But all other things line up. So coming to ET in 2006, I'm showing you the fallow. The model is simulated from January 1st to December 31st. So it's continuously simulated. Then I blocked the plant part, when the plant is, the corn was planted and harvested. So it should show only the fallow part. This is the before planting up to here and after, the plant was, corn was harvested. So you see, it's a very good match. So I don't expect more than this, because there are a lot of uncertainty in the lysimeter also, especially when it's fallow and rainfall is the main input. So what you see in here hanging is the rainfall, and what you see, the straight line going up, are the irrigations. And measured is the red lines, and simulated is the blue. So during fallow, you get very good match. And this part is the crop part. So you see crop ET. There was one problem in 2006. The first corn was planted, and there was some virus attack or something. It was killed after few months, or maybe 1 or 2 months. Then again replanted. So you see some mismatch here because that was not taken care. You know, the plant was having virus attack or some other problem. So once the real crops started, or the better crop, it's better. Yeah, it's a 2007, just to show 1 year, you know, another. You can see that the results are similar. If you look at seasonal ET, lysimeter is 92.58, simulated is 91.73. So, with the error, it's more than accurate. Coming to biomass simulations, because ET you got right, why there can be something else compromised. But I see that biomass simulated, you know, it's reasonable. Then leaf area index, that also is okay in 1990. And no recalibration, only one calibration and we took throughout. In 2006, this is the crop which was killed and started again. Is the biomass 15.77 the relative RMSE. The leaf area index, first crop you can see that it's killed and replanted and start back again. It's good. Then 2007, again, biomass is simulated well. Leaf area index, you can see that one value here is going up. And in the records I got, they said that's suspected. You know, there's something going wrong there. So still I plotted to show that, you know, I'm not sure myself what was wrong with it, because there was no record. That shows the importance of metadata. Should have very good metadata if you are going to give your data to the coming generation. Then comparing measured ET with the reference ET again during the growth season. See how well the fluctuations are simulated. Then this is the Shuttleworth Wallace ET. Shuttleworth Wallace Farhani-Ahuja modification. When I say Shuttleworth Wallace, it's our version. So that goes close to the actual simulated, means actuality. That the actuality simulated. So Shuttleworth Wallace is the potential. Then this is the ET short, that means short FAF 56, short gas, ET 0. According to engineer definition, ET 0. So that comes close to Shuttleworth Wallace and full irrigation, so it's close to simulated, and they are very close. And FAF 56, the tall crop or alfalfa reference ET. That's, you can see that's very high. So, now, that's the crop coefficients. I was very much interested to see how the crop coefficient behaved. This is the crop coefficient for Shuttleworth Wallace, that means Farhani-Ahuja equation. You can see that this is the background is the leaf area index. Take a look at how the crop coefficient vary. Oh, okay. It can be anywhere between 1.5 and 0.05. Then this is the short grass. It follows Shuttleworth Wallace. Then alfalfa. That's the lower, because higher the ET calculated, lower the crop coefficient. Then looking at the literature, is Howell et al. 2006 for corn and winter wheat. So the crop coefficient vary from 1 to 1.7 for short gas. That's the variation. Then yeah, here it varies from 1 to 1.3. Wheat also similar, just to show the variation. Then this is the simulated crop coefficients. What I showed you was for 1989-90-94, okay, Howell et al. Publication. So that varied from 0.05 to 1.7 for corn. And the simulation here I showed just now, that also varied from 0.05 to 1.7, but different data. That means the model is able to simulate ET and crop coefficients, everything well. You, provided you are comparing the model simulation with a very good data set. If there is uncertainty in data set, there is no way. So conclusion is obvious, reasonable simulation, and KC calculated for FAO short gas is matching well with the simulation. That's all.